Holy Father, together with the bishops of the provinces of Baltimore and Washington and the Archdiocese of the Military Services, as we make our Illumina visit, I have the great privilege and honor of offering our profound respect and renewed sentiments of solidarity and loyalty to you, Holy Father. We are particularly grateful that we would be received in audience in this time when you call the whole church universal to the new evangelization. It is with joy and commitment that we join your holiness in efforts to repropose the gospel in our culture and our society today in a way that it will be heard, appropriated, and shared. Enthusiastically, we seek to bring Christ's gospel and way of life to all those entrusted to our pastoral care. We know of those who have drifted away from the practice of the faith, and our hope is to stir into flame the embers of the gospel message and Christ's love, first in our own hearts, and then in the hearts of those entrusted to our care. With deep joy, we recall your visit to our country and to our nation's capital, Washington, in 2008, when in the exercise of your Petrine office, you confirmed us in the faith that comes to us from the apostles, and you challenged us to bring Christ's message to a society profoundly influenced by the secularism, materialism, and individualism of our day, and where we face an erosion of our religious liberty. We come with humility and respect to the threshold of Peter, so that we can share with you, Holy Father, the efforts in all of our dioceses represented here to reawaken in the hearts of our faithful people a renewed encounter with the risen Lord. Holy Father, we ask you, please accept our heartfelt gratitude for your guidance and our great affection for you as the chief shepherd of the Church Universal.
Dear brothers bishops, I greet all of you with fraternal affection, and I pray that this pilgrimage of spiritual renewal and deepened communion will confirm you in faith and commitment to your task as pastors of the Church in the United States of America. As you know, it is my intention in the course of this year to reflect with you on some of the spiritual and cultural challenges of the new evangelization. One of the most memorable aspects of my pastoral visit to the United States was the opportunity it afforded me to reflect on America's historical experience of religious freedom, and specifically the relationship between religion and culture. At the heart of every culture, whether perceived or not, is a consensus about the nature of reality and the moral good, and thus about the conditions for human flourishing. In America, that consensus, as enshrined in your nation's founding documents, was grounded in a worldview shaped not only by faith, but a commitment to certain ethical principles deriving from nature and nature's God. Today, that consensus eroded significantly in the face of powerful new cultural currents which are not only directly opposed to core moral teaching of the Judeo-Christian tradition, but increasingly hostile to Christianity as such. For her part, the Church in the United States is called, in season and out of season, to proclaim a gospel which not only proposes unchanging moral truths, but proposes them precisely as a key to human happiness and social prospering. To the extent that some current cultural trends contain elements that would curtail the proclamation of this truth, whether constricting it within the limits of a merely scientific rationality, or suppressing it in the name of political power of my majority rule, they represent a threat not just to Christian faith, but also to humanity itself and to the deepest truths about our being and ultimate vocation, our relationship to God. When a culture attempts to suppress the dimension of ultimate mystery and to close the doors to transcendent truth, it inevitably becomes impoverished and falls prey, as the late Pope John Paul II so clearly saw, to reductionist and to totalitarian readings of the human person and the nature of society. With her long tradition of respect for the right relationship between faith and reason, the Church has a critical role to play in countering cultural currents which, on the basis of an extreme individualism, seek to promote notions of freedom detached from moral truths. Our tradition does not speak from blind faith, but from a rational perspective, which links our commitment to building an authentically just, human, and prosperous society to our ultimate assurance that the cosmos is possessed of an inner logic accessible to human reasoning. The Church's defense of a moral reasoning based on the natural law is grounded on her conviction that this law is not a threat to our freedom, but rather a language which enables us to understand ourselves and the truth of our being, and so to shape a more just and human world. She thus proposes her moral teaching as a message not of constraint, but of liberation, and as a basis for building a secure future. The Church's witness, then, is of its nature public. She seeks to convince by proposing rational arguments in the public square. The legitimate separation of church and state cannot be taken to mean that the church must be silent on certain issues, nor that the state may choose not to engage or be engaged by the voices of committed believers in determining the values which will shape the future of a nation. In the light of these considerations, it is imperative that the entire Catholic community in the United States come to realize the grave threats to the Church's public moral witness presented by a radical secularism which finds increasing expression in the political and cultural spheres. The seriousness of these threats needs to be clearly appreciated at every level of ecclesial life. Of particular concern are certain attempts being made to limit the most cherished of American freedoms, the freedom of religion. Many of you have pointed out that concerted efforts have been made to deny the right of conscientious objection on the part of Catholic individuals and institutions with regard to cooperation in intrinsically evil practices. Others have spoken to me of a worrying tendency to reduce religious freedom to mere freedom of worship without guarantees of respect of freedom of conscience. Here once more we see the need for an engaged, articulate, and well-formed Catholic laity, endowed with a strong critical sense vis-à-vis the dominant culture, and with the courage to counter reductive secularism which would delegitimate the Church's participation in public debate about the issues which are determining the future of American society. The preparation of committed lay leaders and the presentation of a convincing articulation of the Christian vision of man and society remain a primary task of the Church in your country. As essential components of the new evangelization, these concerns must shape the vision and goals of catechetical programs at every level. In this regard, I would mention with appreciation your efforts to maintain contacts with Catholics involved in political life and to help them understand their personal responsibility to offer public witness to their faith, especially with regard to the great moral issues of our time. Respect for God's gift of life, the protection of human dignity, and the promotion of authentic human rights. As the Council noted, and I wish to reiterate during my pastoral visit, respect for the just autonomy of the secular sphere must also take into consideration the truth that there is no realm of worldly affairs which can be withdrawn from the Creator and His dominion. There can be no doubt that a more consistent witness on the part of America's Catholics to their deepest convictions would make a major contribution to the renewal of society as a whole. Dear brother bishops, in these brief remarks, I have wished to touch upon some of the pressing issues which you face in your service to the gospel and their significance for the evangelization of American culture. No one who looks at these issues realistically can ignore the genuine difficulties which the Church encounters in the present moment. Yet in faith we can take heart from the growing awareness of the need to preserve a civil order clearly rooted in the Judeo-Christian tradition, as well as from the promise offered by a new generation of Catholics whose experience and convictions will have a decisive role in renewing the Church's presence and witness in American society. The hope which the signs of the times give us is itself a reason to renew our efforts to mobilize the intellectual and moral resources of the entire Catholic community in the service of the evangelization of American culture and the building of the civilization of love. With great affection, I commend all of you and the flock entrusted to your care to the prayers of Mary, Mother of Hope, and cordially impart my apostolic blessing as a pledge of grace and peace in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thank you. Sit nomen Domini benedictum.
Et hoc nunc in usque seculum.
Adiutorium nostrum in nomine Domini.
Qui fecit caelum et terra.
Benedicat vos omnipotens Deus, Pater et Filius et Spiritus Sanctus.
Amen.